Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles podcast. We're continuing our series in my new book, The Visionary Brand, The Success Formula Behind the World's Most Visionary Brands. Proud to announce that we just, in the month of September, received the Reader's Favorite Award winner for Top Marketing Book. So we're happy to announce that here in the podcast. And then also, in addition to its first release, was an Amazon bestseller. So again, this is content from the Visionary Brand, the success formula behind the most visionary brands. And today we're going to talk about the positioning. And this is positioning your brand. Obviously a very, very important part, or what I call a cornerstone piece of defining your brand strategy. And once you've defined your brand strategy in the marketplace, you will have determined your point of difference versus your competition. How future products will enter your selected distribution channel, and what type of products will fit into your portfolio. And so each of these foundational questions is part of your positioning strategy. And this will take many, many meetings between your product, the marketing team, whoever you happen to engage with, but you also need to ensure that you can not only execute the commercialization of the product, but also the commercialization of the product in the distribution channel. So operations becomes an important part of that as well. So the positioning of your brand, when you first start and you pull together your brand, one of the first questions we always ask is, what is your positioning statement? Or what are you looking to do that's different than your competition, and or who is your competition? So when you look at your positioning strategy, that's much different than your positioning statement. The positioning statement will be, what are you looking to achieve in the marketplace that's different than the current competitors, and how are you going to sustain that success long term? So when you look at the positioning strategy, it's a lot of different pieces that you need to pull together. But within each question on that positioning strategy are deep-rooted answers, which will direct your path as you move forward. With positioning, the first thing is, are you either premium or a commodity? With a sprinkling of some brands in the middle of the road. And I say that because when you're looking at the strategy for how you're going to develop, let's say in this case, a premium brand. And there are three different levels in the marketplace that you're going to be positioned at. You're either going to be good, which is the lowest level, better, or best. And when you look at a premium versus a commodity brand, just so you know, the premium brand is on the best level, and the commodity brand is always on the good level. And what separates those two is price point. And obviously, materials, construction, design, whatever it may be that's a point of difference for the brand, you can't be a brand if you're a commodity. And I'll stay true to that statement till anybody tells me differently. But when you look at being a premium brand, and I say brand, or a good commodity company, and there's nothing wrong with being a commodity company. If you want to knock off the premium brands, I was at Oakley and people knocked us off all the time. Our intent was to keep marching down the path of innovation and disruption in our category and have others follow us. That was our choice. And if you're a brand, that should be your choice. And I always talk about the supply and demand chain on the positioning. And it's a good point when you're looking at your positioning strategy is not only to see how you want to position your brand, but also, how are you going to fill product along that product, what we call that product life cycle? How are you going to, if you're a premium brand, what type of products and what's your release strategy and what's your communication platform to early adopters? You know, the people that are going to be paying more for your product than those on the back end of the curve, which would be the late adopters. So you need to make sure that along with the positioning, you understand that from a revenue perspective, the question from the finance department will be how you're going to keep that flow going. So Apple's a great example of that. They've got products, new releases on the front end that are premium product at high price points that people are willing to pay for because it's the latest and greatest. But on the back end of the curve, they've got previous generations that the understanding is that we have to discount that in order to bring the new product into the distribution channel. So there's a method to this madness. And I say madness because people will ask me when we're doing strap strategies, strap plans, business plans through Liquid Mind, who I manage. We work with premium CPG consumer product brands, both domestically and internationally. Is when they're positioning, they say, well, we want to be a premium brand. Well, that's a great answer and a great objective, but what's your vision in order to achieve that? And that's part of the positioning as well. So there's a lot of what I call, going back to this deep-rooted answers to that question, is there's a lot of tentacles coming off that question of your positioning strategy. It isn't a matter of just saying you want to be a premium brand. You need to then define your not only your product and your innovation and your point of difference on the initial products you're releasing, but then also to keep the revenue flow going, how are you going to life cycle that product through the life cycle value chain? So let's look at this in a little bit more detail. So again, with positioning, you're either a premium or a commodity brand, or you're somewhere in the middle with kind of this what I call a sprinkling middle of the road brand. And you're either, from a definition of a retail perspective, you're either going to be good, better, or best. Positioning, your objective should always be to be the best, or at the very least, top of the tier, better, but never good. When you position yourself as a commodity company, your only point of difference and your only competitive advantage is price. And by the way, if that's your competitive advantage, you don't have a competitive advantage, because price point compression will happen if you have no point of difference or innovation pipeline. You're not disrupting your category. You have to follow where others have already blazed the trail for you. So the intent here and what we talk about is be the best wherever you can. So this is where the commodity companies play. You know, I said commodities and not brands. And you don't want to play in this bloody water. You know, there's a lot of sharks fighting over scraps in the commodity market because it's an easy entry point. It's very difficult to become a brand from a product standpoint, much less have the affinity and loyalty of communities wanting to buy your product. So stay away from the commodity companies, the commodity products. Don't copy, try to innovate. There's nothing wrong with copying aspects of certain products and adapting that to your product, but virtually tearing down a product that's innovative and then making it a commodity, your only competitive point of difference is price, because you don't have the IP to build that product. And others will follow you once you've torn down that product and undercut you on price, and you have no competitive advantage. So it's a very dangerous game to play. And I would rather be on the end of innovation and disruption and spending more time building my innovation pipeline than I would be worrying about competition, which is the case with premium brands. So go where the water is clear. I say there's a lot of blue ocean. If you just look at this visual perspective, and I love doing this when we do our studies with our brands, when we're doing brand strategy, is we put a picture of the ocean up there. And the Pacific and the Atlantic, a lot of blue water, right? So when companies look at this open water concept, they have a tendency to go where the sharks are, where the food is. So if you drop food into the ocean and it's then consumed by sharks, guess what? It turns into bloody water. And that's where we want to make sure we stay away from, is we don't want to get eaten alive. We want to have, hey, there's plenty to go around. There's plenty of blue water. The problem is when you look at that ocean, it's vast, right? So when you look at the blue water versus the bloody water, everybody wants where the bloody water is because they know where it is and what type of product it is because they purchased it before. The blue ocean is a great opportunity. But the problem is, how are people going to find me? And that's a great idea. What we do is we actually put a boat in the middle of the ocean. We go, how is anybody going to find me, is a quote we put up there. So That's where you play when you're a brand. And you're not yet a brand. So when you're a startup and people tell us, hey, we would like to be a brand, and I'll go, do you understand what that entails? They'll say, yeah, we'll build great product, and we'll go out there and try and market it to our target demographic. Well, that's a great general concept, but there's way more deep-rooted strategy on top of that. So positioning is extremely important, but I want you to understand that there's a lot of things that go into positioning beyond just saying you want to be a premium brand. So let's talk about a few of these. So going where the water is clear, don't fight over scraps. And again, granted, this is more difficult, but the blue ocean is more vast. It'll support your success long-term versus short-term, and you're not going to get eaten alive. And this is why being, I always say different is critical to a brand success. You know, not worrying about competition. If you're different and you have a point of difference that consumers can easily see, they're going to reward you for that. And finding ways to stay ahead on the innovation curve and disrupt wherever you can. These are all strategies around positioning, but they're part of your strategy for keeping your brand alive for what I call generations. And there are these generational brands. And one thing I found in working with these brands, Nike and Adidas, is my intuitiveness, I guess you'd call it, was, you know, how do these brands stay around for generations where so many others have failed? And when you look at it, it's number one, they're a premium brand that people have an affinity for. They have affinity for their product, and they enjoy wearing their product, and they love how they build a culture around their product, and also that they feel like they're part of the brand. So community is very important, as probably as much as the product itself. So when you're establishing the positioning for your brand, there's a few questions you need to ask, okay? One is, what are we selling? You know, it seems like a logical question, but very few people ask it. You know, what are we selling? It isn't we're selling footwear. It goes beyond that. What are you selling? As if a customer sitting across the table from you and they have, let's say you want to start a new footwear brand, a premium footwear brand, and you're going after runners. Well, they're going to have Brooks, Saucony, Asics across the table. And the question would then be to that authentic runner. And I say authentic runner because if you're a premium brand, you're going after the premium customer, which in this case would be a runner. How are you going to explain to them how your product's different from what's already on the table? So that is, what are we selling? Okay, that gets into a competitive point of difference. It also the understanding of functionally what you're going to be doing different, design-wise what you're going to do different, and explaining that to the authentic customer that you're selling to. And the second is just that. Who are we selling to? So first is the product. Second is the person. So again, using the run analogy, you can't have a product that you're giving or showing to a customer that's not authentic because they're not going to give you the feedback you want. And you want direct feedback from customers that are going to actually be purchasing your premium product. So if you're going to go after a run, go after an authentic runner. Go after a marathoner. Go after somebody who does 5 milers every day, 10 milers, whatever it may be. You need an ambassador or somebody that's going to give you the truth as to how your product matches up or how your vision matches up against what's already out there. So who are you selling is number two. Number three is, where are we selling? And it's extremely important when you're positioning because you can't have your cake and eat it too. What I mean by that is, who are you going to be selling to? Now, direct to consumer is something that everybody has tapped into. But it's very similar to previous generations of brands who have had to make this decision. Hey, if we're going to sell direct, regardless of where we have our product, we need to have it in a channel that matches our vision for how we positioned our company or our brand. If you're a premium brand, you can't be in TJ Maxx with inline, what we call inline or current product. Previous generation or somehow it got through the purchase funnel from a buyer, that's fine, but you can't have that as a strategy as to a channel you want to sell to. You can't. It's the principle of you can't sell JCPenney and Nordstrom at the same time. You got to make a choice. Nordstrom's going to find out where your product is, and they're going to kick you out of their distribution channel, and rightly so. They're a premium retailer, so they need to match premium product with premium distribution. So where are we selling? And the fourth is, how do we want to be perceived in the marketplace? And what I mean by that is that you got to have a strategy around your marketing of your brand so it matches the vision of the brand. And it has to be consistent. And I say vertically consistent across everything that you do. Voice, visual, whatever it happens to be, needs to be vertical in nature. So each of these sets a foundation for your vision to where your brand can travel and what paths are prohibitive, where you can't travel down these. You know, travel down these paths and succeed. And if you veer off course and fail, it's your choice. Okay. So these are all areas when you look at positioning your brand that are critical to your success. And the second is what I call 24/7. When we look at, you know, what data is being consumed by consumers these days, everything's 24/7. You know, how does your brand cut through the clutter? And I'll go back to the analogy of the open ocean, and you've got a boat. There's a lot of opportunity around you, but how's anybody going to find you? So that's done through, once you've defined your position, you need to set a cohesive vertical strategy that allows you to engage with your community, building an authentic audience, and enable them to be part of your growth, engaging with them, you know. And also remember, you know, people talk about ambassadors. Oh, we would like people to promote our product, but they have to be authentic. If you're a run company, you can't have a boxer or a football player, somebody endorsing your brand. It's not authentic. So I say, remember, it's better to have 10 authentic ambassadors of your brand than 1,000 who are not committed to supporting your vision. You know, I had the brands and the product and the marketing at these global brands, and I can tell you, we were so anal about ensuring that everybody who was associated with the brand was authentic. Okay, with 35 to 40 touch points a day, it's critical you have a set plan, a clear, cohesive strategy understood by all who are empowered to execute its success. And I say all, by all is not only your internal employees and team, but also the external community. You know, once you've set your position and determined your 24/7 marketing strategy, it's critical to ensure you stay the course. You know, do not sell out, take shortcuts, or maneuver off course. When a brand decides to pursue these paths, they end up having to put the brand in reverse. And they also damage community loyalty and equity of their brand. So as you set your course, start your journey, stay true to who you are, define your brand culture, reward those who contribute to your success, and never look in the rearview mirror. Keep blazing the path for others to follow. And I always say, stay true, stay authentic, be different, and be great. Enjoy your journey along the way. And this, again, is content from The Visionary Brand, the success formula behind the world's most visionary brands. It's available through all distribution channels, book distribution channels. It's an Amazon bestseller, recently received the Reader's Favorite for top marketing book, and also available online through Amazon, through Books A Million, virtually any distribution book retailer globally. So again, we really appreciate those who have purchased the book and the reviews that we've received. So thank you. And if you could leave a review, we would really appreciate it, whether it be for the Visionary Chronicles. I can be reached at Brian Smeltzer, S-M-E-L-T-Z-E-R, at Outlook.com. Also through Brian Smeltzer, B-R-Y-N-S-M-E-L-T-Z-E-R.com. Or through our corporate site, Liquid Mindsite, LiquidMindsite.com as well. So thanks for listening and look forward to the next episode of the Visionary Chronicles. I wanted to thank you for listening to the Visionary Chronicles podcast. And hopefully you find the information that we put out each week very useful. And what we found through reviews and when we were originally putting together their Visionary podcast was found both personal and professional advice as well as information those listening to the podcast were looking for. So we wanted to be unique in that way, and hopefully you found that to be the case. And appreciate the reviews that you've been sending in, and we would certainly appreciate you signing up for our newsletter as well, which is an expansion upon what you're seeing on or hearing on the Visionary Chronicles podcast. And you can find that at two locations. One is bryansmeltzer.com, BryanSmeltzer.com, or our company site, liquidmindsite.com, LiquidMind. site.com. So we would appreciate any reviews, additional reviews, comments you may have. Sign up for the newsletter, and we look forward to talking with you next week.